also from 4th canto. This is Dhruva Maharaj Charitra. It's very interesting that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was residing in Puri for 18 continuous years after touring India, primarily South India, for 6 years after his sannyas, at the age of 24, so from the age of 30 until 48, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested his pastimes in Sri Khetra Dham, Sri Purushottam Kshetra, Jagannath Puri Dham. And during that time in the evening, late afternoon, he and Rupa Sanatan Haridas, King Prataprudra, Gopinathacharya, Sarvam Bhattacharya, and various other devotees, they would assemble at Totagopinath in the gardens surrounding the Totagopinath Mandir, Totagopinath deity. The Gadadhara Pandit would recite the Srimad Bhagavatam. And during those 18 years, it's described in the biographies of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya listened to the entire story, Dhruva Maharaj Charitra, from 4th canto. He listened to it 100 times in 18 years. And additionally, Lord Chaitanya relished the narration of the life and teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, Sri Prahlad Charitra, from the 7th canto. So the Lord Chaitanya, although he's in Mahabhav, and he's Krishna in sannyas, Leela and Puri's in the mood of Radhabhav, Radharani, relishing Radharani's Madanaikya Mahabhav and the Divyonmad, madness of divine separation and then union with Krishna. In the private setting of the Gambhira with Lalita Mishaka in the shape of Surup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Roy, at least in the afternoon he was hearing the Dhruva Maharaj Charitra and Prahlad Maharaj Charitra and of course others, but 100 times each, Prahlad Charitra 100 times in 18 years. So that's quite an intense example he was showing. So this is Dhruva Maharaj Charitra from 4th canto. It's a very long description to summarize this whole Leela, so we'll do it in different parts. Part 1, 2, 3. And this will be called Bhagavad Leela 22, Part 1, 4th canto. It describes about, starts off by describing some various descendants or sons and children of Lord Brahma. And he gave, they were, how they were taken, how they were born and what they represent. They're very interesting that different children of Brahma and children of their children represent different qualities of this material world, like anger, envy, etc. The four Kumaras, Narada Muni, the Ribhus, Hamsa Bhagavan or Hamsa Avatar, Aruni, and Yati were all sons of Brahma. They left home and lived as lifelong celibates, Naishtika Brahmacharyas, Brahmacharis. Adharma was also the son of Brahma, irreligion. And Mr. Adharma, he married a girl named Mrisha, which means falsity. So irreligion and falsity combined. And it just so happened that Mrisha, or falsity, was the sister of Adharma, who he married. Of course, that's incest, and that's not so much recommended. But Adharma and his sister wife, Mrisha, in other words, irreligion combined with falsity, and they produced two children that are demon children. One of them is named Dumba, which means bluffing, and the other illustrious demoniac child was named Maya, or cheating. And they were given to the demon Niruti, who had no children. From Dumba, bluffing, and Maya, cheating, they gave birth to two very interesting children, Lobha, greed, and Nikriti, cunning. And from the combination of Lobha and greed and Nikriti, they produce Krodha, anger, and Himsa, envy. And from the union of anger and envy came Kali and his sister Durukti, harsh speech. By the combination of Kali and Durukti was produced death, Mritu, and fear, Bhiti. Then from death and fear, there was born two children, Yatana, excessive pain, and Nirai, hell. Altogether, these offsprings of Brahma, very interesting offspring, they are considered to be the cause of the devastation of the material world, or devastation of anyone in the material world, obviously. Someone is full of these qualities of irreligion, falsity, bluffing, cheating, greed, cunning, anger, envy, harsh speech, and fear, then obviously he'll die an ignoble death and experience excessive pain and go to hell. So that includes all the offspring and their qualities. Meanwhile, Brahma's other son, the progenitor or Prajapati, Swayam Bhuvamanu, and his beautiful wife, Shatarupa, they had two sons, Priyavrata and Uttanapad. Uttanapad had two queens named Suniti and Suruchi, but he liked Suruchi much more than Suniti. Once Uttanapad was patting Suruchi's son Uttama as he sat upon his lap. Meanwhile, the Suniti's son, and Suniti's the second queen, not much favored, Suniti's son Dhruva also tried to climb onto Uttanapad's lap to be with his cousin brother. But the king was naturally inclined to treat both sons equally, but because the mother of Uttam was there, because of Suruchi's presence, King Uttanapad behaved in such a way to please her. Understanding this, Suruchi became envious of her stepson named Dhruva. And she spoke in such a way, losing control of her mind, she spoke in such a way that her husband, Uttanapad, and stepson could hear her. "My dear Dhruva, you do not deserve to sit upon the throne or the lap of King Uttanapad. Of course, you're also the son of the king, but you're not my son, so you're not really qualified to sit there. You don't really understand, but there's two major queens, and I'm the main one, so you're out of luck. So you better go perform some austerities and please God, and then maybe next life you'll get an opportunity to be my son." Dhruva didn't take this too well. He got really angry at his stepmother's harsh words. Meanwhile, his father, Uttanapad, was quiet, being afraid of his wife, as usual. And Dhruva left the palace and went to his mother, Suniti, crying. Her son was trembling with anger. She comforted him. And the palace residents, they carried the gossip. And they conveyed all the cruel words of Suruchi to Suniti, so she knew what was happening here. And she began to burn due to that insult, thinking of the words of her co-wife. And she started crying, becoming pale. She said, "Listen, Dhruv, I don't want to hurt anyone. Because if someone inflicts pain upon another, he'll also suffer himself. Your father, what Suruchi said is actually true. Your father doesn't favor me. He's rather ashamed of me. It seems you have an unfortunate birth, being my son. It's very unsatisfactory, but your mother has said the truth that I'm not favored, so I doubt that you'll ever become the king, because he'll favor Suruchi's son and not put you on the throne, but rather put Uttam on the throne. So you should follow what she said and start worshiping God. And you get so much power, because God is very kind. He's kinder than a million mothers. When everybody else fails you, he will help you." Dhruva left home, went to the forest. Narada heard about it and came to visit the child. He touched Dhruva with his hand and said, "You have amazing Kshatriya spirit. They don't like to be offended. But you're a little boy, you should go home and play. Why are you so affected by your stepmother's harsh words? Just because they insulted your honor? Don't be disturbed by dishonor. Material world's full of dualities, that's the way it is. Now you want to practice mystic yoga to achieve God. But you want to do what ordinary person can't do, even a great yogi can't do. Grow up a little bit and come back and you can try. Just be satisfied with whatever happens in life. Then you can cross the ignorance of this world." Actually, Narada came to meet Dhruva because Vishnu told him to initiate him. But first, Narada wanted to test his qualification and sincerity and determination. And a guru should do that. Test his would-be disciple. Is he determined? Is he sincere? Dhruva replied, "Listen, great sage, you're giving great directions. But I am born in a Kshatriya family. My heart is broken. I want to have a position more exalted than anything by anyone in the three worlds and anyone in my family. If you can tell me how to achieve that, that is nice. Be merciful and fulfill my desire." Narada became compassionate and said, "Listen, worship, follow bhakti yoga path. This is best for you. I wish you all good fortune. Go to the river Yamuna and bathe thrice a day and do Ashtanga yoga. Control your life errors and become fixed in meditating on the Lord. As you meditate on the Lord, you'll see his beautiful, pleasing attitude and smiling face. He will appear to you and give you benedictions. Constantly meditate on the form of the Lord within your heart. And I will give you a mantra to go along with your meditation. Dhyan and mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is a very powerful mantra, and you'll get mantra fall coming in installments. After chanting this mantra For only 7 days you will have darshan of the siddhas flying over your head. Make a Krishna deity and worship it. Worship that deity while chanting this mantra and following the codes of Shastra. Offer tulsi leaves and mandris and everything you can find in the forest. Chant your mantra, do mantra upasana, archana, deity worship, and meditate on the leelas of the Lord's various incarnations. Soon you will be blessed by the Lord to fulfill your desire. Dhruva circumambulated his guru Narad and offered obeisances, and he went to the bank of the Yamuna in Vrindavan in the forest of Madhuban, which is so dear to the Lord. Narada Muni then went to visit King Uttanapad and spoke. It seems that your mind is not happy, the king replied. I was addicted and affectionate to my second queen, and so I've given up my 5-year-old son, Dhruva. Although he's a great soul, and very beautiful and gentle, I'm afraid he may be eaten by some wolves in the forest. I'm so hard-hearted. I ignored him when he tried to climb on my lap. Narada said, don't worry, King. Your son is being protected by God. You don't know this, but your son will become very famous and return to your home when he completes his tapasya. Your son will make you famous all over the world because of his glories. After hearing from Narada, Uttanapad withdrew from all of his political engagements and spent all his time meditating on his son Dhruva. Meanwhile, back in the Madhavan forest in Vrindavan on the banks of Yamuna, Dhruva began his intensive worship and fasting as he was advised, and as described how he followed his vow month by month. It was a 6-month vow to perfection. The first month he ate fruits and berries, falahar, every 3 days, fasting 2 days, eating 1 day. The second month he ate grass and leaves every 6th day. So that means 30 days a month. He ate 5 times grass and dry leaves the second month. And during the 3rd month he only drank water every 9 days. That means 3 times in a month. He drank water 3 times in a month. He was absorbed in meditative trance and worshipping the Lord. In the 4th month, he became an adept at pranayama, and he would inhale every 12 days and hold it and maintain his life. So that means he inhaled 2.5 times in 1 month, in the 4th month. And the 5th month, he had attained pranayama siddhi, didn't breathe at all, stood on 1 leg, started meditating Vishnu Dhyan. By his intense austerities, his 5-year-old Dhruva Maharaj captured the attention of the Lord. He was so powerful that the whole 3 worlds began to tremble. The pressure of his big toe was pushing down half the earth. Because he was so much absorbed in meditating on Vishnu, he assumed the heaviness of the Virata Rupa of the Lord. His body assumed the proportions of the whole body of the universe. And he closed the holes of his 9 holes of his body and choked up the whole universal breathing. Demigods were suffocating, they prayed to the Lord for protection. The Supreme Lord said, listen, demigods, relax. This is all being caused by the intense tapasya of Dhruva, who is meditating on me. Soon I'll go and I'll stop his austerity, so just relax, be peaceful. Vishnu came to Madhavan That form that Dhruva Maharaj was seeing in his heart suddenly appeared outside. And he opened his eyes and saw exactly what he saw in his heart. He became excited. And he fell down to offer dandavats. He was drinking an ecstatic love of God. He was drinking the form of the Lord through the eyes, his eyes, and kissing the Lord's form with his mouth and embracing his arms. He wanted to offer nice prayers, but his young boy didn't know. He was uneducated in Sanskrit grammar, etc. Understanding his heart, Vishnu touched his conch shell to his forehead, or his cheek, sometimes they say cheek. And immediately, by that touch of the conch shell, he got all the knowledge, started praying to the Lord so beautifully. Admitting he's a little foolish to worship the Lord like that. He says, I'm becoming mad to hear about your transcendental qualities. You're the personified form of benediction. Then he finished his prayers. Vishnu said, I know your heart's desire, which is difficult to achieve. But I'll give you a place, the pole star, which all the planets revolve about. Soon your father will take vanaprast and go to the forest, and you will assume the control of his kingdom and rule the earth for 36,000 years. You'll stay forever young and strong. Your brother Uttam, who caused you so much difficulty, he will die in a hunting expedition. And Saruchi will go searching for him in madness and be burned in a forest fire. You'll do so many great sacrifices as the ruler of the earth. In the time of death, you'll fix your mind on me and go to my planet, the pole star, wherein Shwetadweep is situated within the ocean of milk. Having attained this Vaikuntha planet located in the material world, you will never come back to the cycle of samsara, birth and death. Vyasadeva comments, generally Lord Vishnu or Krishna does not give his pure devotee material opulence, even if that devotee may want it. Dhruva was different because he knew that such a great devotee would not become deviated from his spiritual consciousness, even though surrounded by the opulence of being the king. Vishnu departed for his own abode upon Garuda. Dhruva started home. Dhruva lamented that he approached the Lord, he had revenge against his mother-in-law. He condemned himself. Just see what I've done. I approached God. Even though I came face to face to God after 6 months of tapasya. Usually such a perfection is only attained in many, many births. The Lord has been so kind to me. I spoiled my intelligence by my envy and desire. I couldn't really seriously carry out the instructions of my Guru Narada. I saw my brother and stepmother as enemies. Although I saw the Lord, I prayed to him. Although I saw him face to face, I asked for material things instead of his eternal service. A messenger came to the palace to tell King Uttanapad that his son Dhruva was coming home. The king was remorseful and upset with himself, considering himself an offender, causing his own son to run away from home. he rewarded that messenger and gathered everyone to greet his son. They came out of the city in a grand procession, showing her non-envious attitude. Queen Suniti took Saruchi and Uttama on her palanquin to share her palanquin with him. Uttanapad jumped off his chariot and ran to embrace Dhruva with love and affection. Dhruva's body had become pure with the touch of Vishnu. Uttanapad bathed his son with torrents of tears. Dhruva humbly offered obeisances to his father and then to his two mothers. Saruchi picked him up and embraced him. She blessed Dhruva by saying, "My dear son and whatever it is, stepson, may you live long." Then the two brothers, stepbrothers, Uttam and Dhruva, embraced and became ecstatic by that. And finally, Suniti embraced her beloved son, Dhruva, who was dearer to her than her very life. And milk was flowing from her breasts, and she was crying profusely. She bathed Dhruva's whole body. Everyone praised Suniti for her good fortune. Uttanapad sat his son Dhruva upon an elephant. The whole city was gorgeously decorated to welcome him. And everyone was showering him grains and flowers and fruits, offering him fruits. Dhruva lived in the opulent palace of his father. And Uttanapad was very happy to take care of his son. Dhruva grew up, and then he decided to give his son the kingdom. Somehow or other, after some time, Dhruva's younger brother, Uttam, was killed by Yaksha on a hunting expedition in the Himalayas. And Suchi died while searching for her son. When he heard this unpalatable news, Dhruva became angry, and he mounted his chariot and he went to attack the Yakshas in Alakapuri. Dhruva attacks the Yakshas in Alakapuri. Alakapuri was situated in the valley of the Himalayas and filled with all the ghostly followers of Shiva. Sounding his conch shell, Dhruva caused the wives of the Yakshas to be fearful. All the Yakshas came out to attack him. Dhruva began killing Yakshas in great numbers, releasing 3 arrows at a time. The Yakshas could understand they were going to be defeated, so they applauded Dhruva's heroic fighting. Each of the 130,000 Yakshas released 6 arrows at once, and clubs and swords and tridents and lances. Dhruva was covered by a shower of weapons like a mountain covered by monsoon rain. The siddhas watching in the sky said, "Oh, Dhruva is now lost." The Yakshas were rejoicing over their imminent victory, and suddenly Dhruva's chariot disappeared. But they could hear the twanging of Dhruva's bow and the hissing of his arrows. Dhruva began releasing incessant numbers of arrows, and he was killing millions of Yakshas, and the survivors were running for their lives. No one could oppose Dhruva. Suddenly Dhruva heard a tumultuous sound. A dust storm approached with thunder and darkness, lightning flashing. Rain was falling along with stool and blood and bone marrow, and headless bodies were falling down on top of Dhruva. A flying mountain appeared overhead, showering hailstones and swords and rocks on his head. And Dhruva saw huge snakes with furious eyes, vomiting fire, and mad elephants charging him, lions, tigers, foaming waves. It was all an illusion created by the yakshas, but it overwhelmed Dhruva. Then Lord Vishnu sent some sages to counsel Dhruva. May God help you kill your enemies, Dhruva. You should know, my dear son, that the holy name of the Lord is as powerful as the Lord himself. Start chanting your mantra. This will protect you. Dhruva took a special arrow that had been created by Narayan Rishi, and that destroyed all the illusions of the yakshas. And then he started firing thousands of golden shaft arrows from that Narayana Astra. And they entered the bodies of the yakshas with a loud hissing sound. Millions are falling dead, thousands are falling dead on the battlefield. With his arrows, he cut off all the attacking yakshas' heads. Swayambhuva Manu was watching the decimation of the yakshas. Dhruva was killing so many innocent yakshas. Swayambhuva Manu came and said, "Listen, my dear boy, you're too angry. Your anger will take you to hell. You've already revenged the death of your brother who was one. One yaksha killed your brother, and now you're killing so many innocent yakshas. It's unnecessary. Stop it. It's irreligious. You're a devotee. You should behave in an exemplary way, not be overtaken by anger and revenge. Vishnu is pleased when devotees show tolerance and friendship and mercy and equality to others. Despite his preaching, Dhruva was still dissatisfied over his brother's death. Swayambhuva changed his tactic. Ultimately, my son, Lord Vishnu is the cause of everything, and he's killing everyone. But you should understand, my dear boy, that whatever happiness or suffering you meet, it's a result of your own karma. Don't think that these yakshas have killed your brother. This is all the destiny. Fix your attention on God, and you'll give up all these illusory ideas of my brother and I am his brother. You're killing all these yakshas who are the followers of the demigod Kubera. And he's Shiva's brother. He should pacify Kubera so his anger will not affect our family. When Kubera understood that Dhruva's anger had subsided, he went to the battle scene. Kubera spoke to Dhruva, "Listen, my child, O sinless one, I'm glad you're following your grandfather's instruction. Actually, the killer of all these yakshas and your brother also is the time factor, which is a feature of God. Now, my dear boy, you can ask for a benediction, because you're usually always serving the Lord." Dhruva replied, "Oh, my dear Dhanapati, Lord of Wealth, Kubera, I only want this blessing. May I have powerful faith and always in the Lord and always remember Him. If I can do this, I can cross over this cycle, this ocean of birth and death. Kuvera gave him that benediction, disappeared, Dhruva went home and performed many yajnas to please God. Dhruva spent his 36,000 years doing enjoying and then doing atonement. And finally he gave his kingdom to his sons and retired to the Badrik Ashram in the Himalayas. He started worshiping a deity of the Lord and meditating and experiencing ecstasy and crying and shivering, his hair standing on end. Finally, a wonderful airplane descended from the sky, and the Vishnudutas, Nanda and Sunanda, so beautiful, they came to pick up Dhruva. He was so overwhelmed that he forgot to respectfully greet the Vishnudutas. He simply folded his hands and chanted the names of the Lord. However, the compassionate Vishnudutas, Nanda and Sunanda, were happy with this childish, or you could say simple, reception. They said, "Oh, Maharaj Dhruva, when you were 5, you pleased the Lord with your tapa. We are the Vishnudutas. We are bringing you now to Vishnuloka. None of your relatives have ever achieved this goal. God has sent this special Viman for you. You will go to Vaikuntha and live eternally." Dhruva prepared himself by bathing and finishing his daily sadhana. And he offered obeisances to all the sages that were there to greet him or to send him off. He worshipped and circumambulated that Viman, that spiritual airplane. He offered his obeisances to the Vishnudutas. And while doing all these devotional acts of Padasevanam, honoring the Vaishnavas and sages, and offering respects to the airplane and the Vishnudutas who drove it there, Dhruva's body became transformed, shining in a molten golden complexion. At the last moment, before he stepped onto the plane, death came. But he simply put his feet on death's head and used it as a stepping stone to board the airplane. Drums resounded in the sky, the Gandharvas sang, and flowers fell upon Dhruva like torrents of rain. Dhruva, while sitting on the airplane, he thought of his dear mother Suniti. "Oh, how can I go alone to Vaikuntha and leave my poor mother?" The Vishnudutas in charge of that Vaikuntha Viman, they understood Dhruva's mind. They said, "Look, Dhruv, she's already in another airplane going to the same place." Dhruva arrived at Vaikuntha. Seeing the glories of his disciple Dhruva, Narada went to the Yajna Shala of the Prachetas and chanted some beautiful verses that praised the exalted son of Uttanapad. Maitreya concluded his Dhruva Charitra narration to Vaidura by saying, giving a shrutifal or boon, "Anyone who hears the Dhruva Charitra, about the activities, life, and teachings of Dhruva Maharaj, will fulfill all his desires for wealth and fame and long life. Simply by hearing it, one can go to Dhruva Loka after freeing himself from all his sinful activities. Anyone who hears and tries with faith and devotion to understand Dhruva's pure character will attain Shuddha Bhakti. Anyone who hears the Dhruva Charitra will acquire wonderful qualities like Dhruva: determination, faith, devotion, austerity. Therefore, one should chant the Dhruva Charitra every morning and evening with great care and attention in sadhusanga. Dhruva Charitra Ki Jai.